Arguing with God may not be the favorite pastime of most Christians, but you'd be surprised how many of us actually do argue with God. And I don't mean just once in a while, but even on a daily basis. But what we're going to be discussing today is going to be Moses' argument with God when he was told to deliver the Hebrews to the Promised Land. So open your books, because we're going to be looking at Exodus chapters 3 all the way to chapter 6, and we're going to be going over some of the arguments that Moses uses to try to talk his way out of working for the Lord. We're going to go over 7 excuses as to why Moses could not do what God was asking him to do. The first excuse that Moses will be using will be his lack of capability, followed by lack of message, lack of authority, lack of eloquence, lack of special adaptation, lack of previous success, and finally, lack of previous acceptance. So let's turn to our Bibles in chapter 3 of Exodus, starting in verse 1, where God gets Moses' attention. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up?" We see here in Scripture the first time the term "the angel of the Lord" is used. Most theologians believe that the angel of the Lord was the pre-incarnate form of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." I find it very interesting that God called Moses not once, but twice. How many times in our own lives does God have to continually call us until we answer? Now, Moses answered on the second call, but I think even in my own life, I have been known to answer after 3 or 4 attempts from God to get my attention. Of course, I didn't have a burning bush in front of me either. Verse 5, "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. You know, Moses knew the proper respect to pay to the Lord, and we as Christians should follow his example. You know, God is an all-loving God, but he is to be approached in reverence. In verse 7, the Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians." Now, I want to pause there for a moment and stress that God just said to Moses that he himself was going to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians. Now, we're going to look at verse 10. "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Interesting that God, prior to this, told Moses that he himself was going to do the rescuing. And suddenly, Moses is enlisted to do the job. How did this happen? Well, you see, God does all of the rescuing, but Moses is the instrument that God uses in the rescuing. Verse 11, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' This is Moses' lack of capability excuse. See, 40 years prior to this, Moses had killed an Egyptian for beating a Hebrew slave, and he didn't want any part of going back to Egypt, let alone confronting the Pharaoh of Egypt. On top of that, Moses is looking at himself instead of God. God said he was going to do the rescuing, but Moses is saying, "Who am I?" Verse 12, "And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Now, this is a wonderful statement from God. He is telling Moses, "I'm going to be with you. And to prove it to the Hebrews, when you get back to this mountain, you guys are going to be worshiping me." So you see, God was telling Moses, "Look, I'm here with you now, and I'm going with you where you're going. I'm going to take care of everything. And not only am I going to take care of everything, I'm going to prove everything to you as well." As if God needs to prove anything to any of us. Verse 13 displays Moses' lack of message excuse. "Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them?" So Moses is telling God at this point, "I don't even have anything that I can tell these people." God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." The name I am is also used for the very first time in this part of the Bible. And it proclaims God as all-powerful, sovereign, self-existing, and eternal. In John 8, verse 58, Jesus used the name I am. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, isn't that interesting that the angel of the Lord appears to Moses and he gives the name I am? And then Jesus uses the same name to describe himself. That's because God and Jesus are one and the same. Now, in verses 15 through 21, God pretty much lays out to Moses the entire plan as to what to do and what's going to take place. And you would think that with all of that information coming from the Lord himself, Moses would be ready to jump in and get to work. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1, Moses exercises his lack of authority argument to God. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you?" You see, Moses is relying on his own authority instead of exercising the authority that God gave him. How many times in our own lives do we exercise our own authority or look to our own authority rather than exercising the authority that the Lord gave us? You know, God has given us the authority of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Yet I see Christians every day that cower from the very thought of witnessing to the unsaved. Verse 2, "Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. Now I want to point something out about this verse. God asked Moses about something Moses already had possession of. When God calls us to do something for him, he always makes sure that we are equipped to do it before he asks it of us. Now, in this case, Moses already had a staff. Notice that God said, "Look at what you already have." He didn't say, "Go over there and pick up a staff." No, he said, "Let's see what you already have and let's use what you already have." In this case, it was the staff, and Moses was instructed to throw it on the ground, and then that staff turned into a snake. Now, a snake to the Egyptians represented power and life. And so God was going to demonstrate to the Egyptians that the Lord had the authority over power.
power and life. Verse 6, then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. God was going to show Pharaoh with this sign that the Lord had power over health and could inflict sickness as well. This would be a very powerful sign to the Pharaoh who regarded himself as a god. In verse 8, then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. The Egyptians actually worshipped the Nile River as a god. And what the Lord was going to demonstrate with this sign was that the Lord had complete authority over all of the gods the Egyptians worshipped. So this is going to be a very powerful sign to the Pharaoh. In verse 10, Moses gives his lack of eloquence argument. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. I don't actually believe that that was entirely true. I'm not saying Moses was lying to God. I'm saying that he was not confident in himself. And the reason why I say that is because in Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, the deacon Stephen says, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. It seems like to me, Moses just didn't have enough faith in himself. But you know something? It wasn't the faith in himself that was going to get this job done. It was faith in God. And at this point, I doubt that Moses had any faith, whether it be in himself or the Lord. In verse 11, the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. So now God is reminding Moses, look, I'm the guy that makes everything happen. And not only do I make everything happen, but I'm going to make it happen for you. And by the way, I am going to be with you. But Moses still doesn't get it. In verse 13, Moses gives his lack of special adaptation excuse to God. But Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. What Moses is saying to God's prior statement is that no matter what you're going to do and teach me and show me, I just can't adapt to this kind of thing. I can't do it, God. You're going to have to pick somebody else. Look, I would love to help you, but you got the wrong guy. Verse 14, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. Haha, see, God already thought about this before Moses even knew he was going to be speaking it. See, God had Aaron on his way as Moses was arguing with God. So Moses was running really quick out of excuses on how to get out of this job. So in chapter 5, verse 23, we see Moses yet again arguing with God. In this verse, Moses is using the lack of previous success for his excuse. Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. You know, there's been times when I've been praying to God and I've told him, look, I've done everything you've asked me to do, and I haven't seen any results. And when I open my heart up and I listen to God and what he is telling me back in prayer,
I always find that I have not done everything God has told me to do. And that's why the results are not coming. See, Moses previously was told by God specifically what he was to do. Yet Moses goes in there and he just tries one time and nothing works out. And so he goes back and he argues with God yet again. Now, I might sound as if I'm being hard on Moses, and that's not my intentions. But I do want to mirror my own life and perhaps even yours with what's going on here. As humans, we tend to argue with God when we don't see the results as quickly as we want to see them, or as quickly as we think we should see them. And so what Moses is doing here, because he doesn't want to do this in the first place, is he's coming up yet with another excuse as to why he doesn't have to do it. Exodus chapter 6, verse 12, we see Moses again talking to God. But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" Now, this is Moses' lack of previous acceptance excuse. Moses is telling God, look, nobody's listening to me. Nobody's accepting this message. This can't be done. Again, you've got the wrong person. When it comes to doing something for God, we have to understand that it is God's power that gets the job done and that we are tools. Now, you would think that the humility that Moses is displaying would be pleasing to God. After all, he continually says, God, I'm the wrong guy. But you know what he's really doing? He is saying that God can't get it done. Because if he was really in the faith, he would understand that God was going to make everything happen just as he promised he would. But Moses is looking at his own abilities, he is looking at his own resources, and he is looking at his own status in Egypt, and he is not portraying God the way God has told him to portray him. He has done none of these signs, he has done no effort whatsoever to actually make this work. He's actually spent more time at this juncture getting out or trying to get out of the job than he's actually doing the job. So when God asks us to do something, we have to be very careful not to over-examine our own resources and our own abilities. Just know that if God asks us to do it, we're going to be equipped to do it. Take a look at Moses' life for just one moment, and you will see how God was preparing him for this all along. The first 40 years of Moses was spent in the governing class of Egypt. During that time, he was educated by the best teachers in the land. He not only got an education, but he got a first-hand insight on how the government and the military worked for Egypt. On top of that, Moses spent the next 40 years of his life as a shepherd tending the flock of his father-in-law. Now, to be a shepherd, there are many things that you have to do to ensure the welfare of the flock. And Moses, whether he knew it or not, was getting training to tend the flock of God. Now, the next 40 years of Moses' life would be spent in the wilderness, putting up with a lot of grumbling, a lot of crazy stuff that the Hebrews were going to be throwing at him, and he was going to be building a relationship with God that perhaps was unsurpassed next to Jesus Christ himself. You know, when God comes to you and he asks you to do something and you start to think that you can't do it, well, you are right. You can't do it. But if you start believing that God is really going to be with you and he shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ, you are going to get the message that God is going to be the one who's actually going to make it happen, and that you are the humble servant. When you place yourself as the servant to God and you place him as the Father, you will see miraculous things happening in your life. What I want to leave you with today is this thought. If you want to see miracles from God, look to yourself. Look to the changes that God wants to make in your life. Look at the changes that God has already made in your life. Those, I believe, are some of the biggest miracles God does today. And you know something? God can use you to change somebody's life, to have a miracle happen in their life. Why not ask God today, Lord, what can I be used for to make a change in someone else's life? Moses had every excuse in the world as to why he couldn't be used, yet God achieved the goal through Moses. The Pharaoh let his people go. And God can use you right now with what you have. No matter what you think, God can and will use you if you humble yourself and allow Him. As a believer, there are some very important things you should be doing every single day to grow your relationship with Jesus Christ. I've put together a teaching series on four principles that no believer in Christ should be without. And it's yours absolutely free, no cost, and no obligation. All you have to do is write me at James Lindley Ministries, Attention, Four Principles for Believers, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Be sure to indicate which format we should send you, CD or DVD. These four teachings represent the four most important aspects of a person's walk with Christ. Each teaching stresses an important principle that every believer should apply to their life. The four teachings are reading and studying God's Word, obeying God's Word, surrendering to God, and forgiveness. Again, this series is free, no cost or obligation, but you have to take the first step. I can't get this important teaching to you unless you write me. Jesus was God Himself in the flesh who walked a perfect life here on earth. He never broke not one of God's commandments. And when He died, His blood was spilled and He died as an innocent lamb would have died. Hence, why Jesus is sometimes referred to as the Lamb of God. In fact, in the book of John, He is literally referred to as the Lamb of God. The Lord, in His loving grace, sent Jesus to pay the full price for all of our sins that we would ever do or ever have done. And so we ourselves couldn't provide enough lambs to make this happen. God Himself stepped down from His throne and became a living being and was born for the purpose of dying to pay for all of our sins. If you've ever stolen anything, if you've ever lied, if you've ever cheated so much as on a test in school, you have broken God's commandments. Even if you have looked at a woman in lust, the Lord says you have committed adultery in your heart. See, God is concerned about the state of your heart. And so, if you want to become a part of the Christian family right now and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about joining a religion. I'm talking about having a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The first step is prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. There's no formal way of doing it. We just simply speak to God as if He was our best friend. And you know something? He is. So if you want to become a Christian right now, your first step is to pray to God and to ask Him to forgive you for your sins through Jesus Christ, and then to ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Say this prayer with me now. God, I am a sinner. I have broken Your law.
I have ignored your commandments, and I have lived a life of sin. And I ask you, God, to forgive me for all of my sins I have ever done and for all of the sins I ever will do. I accept right now your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior and as my payment for my sins. I believe that He died for me, that He took my place, God, that He is the sacrificial lamb. I thank you, God, and I believe that I am now on my way to becoming a Christian.
If you just said that prayer with me now, you are now in the family of God. Your next steps will include getting yourself a Bible, a translation that you can understand. I recommend the NIV, the New International Version, for beginners. And I also recommend that you read the book of John to begin with. It's in the New Testament. If you know someone who is a Christian, who attends church regularly and reads their Bible, I suggest that you become closer friends with them and tell them about your decision and your prayer and talk to them about being baptized. Don't worry if you don't understand all of the ins and outs right now. The important thing is that you befriend yourself with other believers so that they can get you and keep you on the right track with God. And don't fall into religion. Fall into a relationship with the Lord God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for listening to this edition of A Word from God. And I pray that the Lord will bless you immensely from this message. If you're looking for more out of your walk with Jesus, then I would like to invite you to my website, www.jameslindley.org. That's www.jameslindly.org. There you will find inspirational articles along with more editions of A Word from God that you can watch right from your computer. So click on over today. And while you're at it, why not write me a letter with your questions and prayer requests? I would love to hear from you. I'll send you a copy of our current newsletter along with some other inspirational goodies. Be sure when writing me to mention if you're a new believer in Christ, and I'll send you a free Bible. And of course, there is no cost or obligation for any of the stuff I'll be sending you. Just write to P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801, and be sure to attention it to James Lindley Ministries. God bless.